Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning to you all. It's good to see new faces here too. And it's a blessing to be with you this morning. As you know, I'm in Guatemala, and being in Guatemala, I do speak Spanish in there, right? So I have learned some English, and I hope you bear with me this morning. I will try to be as clear as possible, okay? And I would like to speak to you about this morning, about the Word of God, and about a look in the mirror. What do you see? Why do we use a mirror to see ourselves, right? But as you walk along, we all see others. Have you noticed that? You can tell how others look like, but we don't see ourselves. Have you noticed that? And even in the Bible says, right, that sometimes we are prompt to see others, but even others' mistakes, but sometimes it's difficult for us to see ourselves. So I would like to, again, I have a mirror from my wife here, but when I see myself, see? See? Something to fix it here. And I think I need a lot of fixing. But on the other hand, we see ourselves in the mirror, but just the outer appearance. But we don't see the inside. But when we come to God, when we come to the Bible says that he sees us not just as other men sees us, but he wants to see us our heart, right? So we want to speak about this morning, about a look in the mirror, but not just our outer appearance, right? But we want to see how God sees us. And if you open your Bibles, please, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. And after we read the verse, I will take a moment to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. And the Bible says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not unto his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as men sees it, but men look on the outer appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." As you can tell here, as you can see, the Bible says that God not sees only our outer appearance, but he sees our heart. And God is talking here about David, right? David was not even there. Samuel was looking for a king, and the best looking men were there, but David was not there. He was younger, he was a young lad, but God looked at his heart. So I would like to again study tonight about this matter. How do we look in the mirror? If you please would meet with me in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I need you this morning, and I pray that you will give me the ability, Lord, to communicate myself in English this morning. And I pray that you will bless this church. I thank you, Lord, for Pastor Otero and his congregation, that they've been faithful to us in helping and supporting us in our mission in Guatemala. And I pray, Lord, that you will help me to preach and to communicate your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Again, as I was seeing, in the first place, we will see this morning that God has given us a mirror to see ourselves. If you look at James chapter 1, please, James chapter 1 and verse 22. James chapter 1. Getting there. Verse 22 says, But ye be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But if any man hear of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he holdeth himself as engulfed away, and straighted away, forgetteth what manner of man he was. As you can tell here, the Bible talks about here that when we look ourselves in the mirror, and then we don't do anything about it, we just walk away, and then we lie to ourselves. as when we look at God's word, and we just say, well, I read and I know this, but I don't do anything about it. If you also read, please, in Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 12 also. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And the Bible says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and the joints of marrow, and is a discernment of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible talks about here, right, that God not only see our face, God sees our heart. When we read the word of God, in reality, we don't read it. God is the one that reads us. Have you noticed that sometimes when you come and read the word of God, what happens? After you read it, many times we bow our heads and say, well, you know, Lord, help me in this. I read this morning and something, this and that is wrong with me. Please help me to change, right? How you do? When we come here and you hear pastors preaching or somebody else preaching the word of God, the Holy Spirit convicts us, right? Convicts us from our heart. And it's necessary and very important that when we come to church, we just don't come and just spend our time here. But we should come with the attitude of, Lord, if there is something that you need to talk to me this morning, if there is something that you need to teach me this week, please open my heart to it, to understand, to be open to your word. It's amazing. In reality, Christianity, it's about that. It's about allowing God not to change our face. And if you think about it, we all are changing our outside appearance, and we're getting older, don't we? If you see my face, my hair, it's because of my wife. No, just kidding. But, you know, I'm getting older. But the amazing of growing in the Lord is that as we know God and as we allow Him to work in our hearts, our heart, our spiritual life gets stronger. Have you noticed that? And even though we get older, in the outer appearance, we get younger, we get stronger spiritually. And that's a real blessing that the Lord allow us to go through it. God has given us a mirror to see ourselves. Each time that we see ourselves in the mirror of God, reveal our imperfections. Have you noticed that? Reveals our imperfections. If you see in Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, Romans, Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, what then? Here's this. Yeah, Romans 3 and verse 10, I would say. And it is written, there is none righteous, no one. There is no one. There is none that understanding. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together became unprofitable. There is none that do good. No one, the Bible says. See, if you look at it here at this verse, the Bible says that no one of us is perfect. No one of us is just as God expects us to be. So is why, how do we know that? Through the Bible, right? The Bible says also in Romans 3, in 23, the verse says there, for all have sinned and come short out of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Have you noticed that? Our children have sinned. We all need to be changed. And how do we know that? Knowing and coming to the word of God. Read with me also, please, in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17, and this is a very strong verse of how the Bible, how God sees our hearts. And you know what? This is one of the key things about our lives. We should never forget what we are. We should never forget what the Bible talks about us, how God sees us. And the Bible says that we are perfect. We are sinners. So every week, every day, we should get up and ask God to help us, right? Ask God to change us for His glory. See what the Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 17. I'm sorry, it's Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. 17 and 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Wow. It's a strong word. It says not only wicked. It says desperately wicked. Wow. That's why we all shall guard our hearts. It's why we should know. You know, when your husband or wife tries to tell us something, or we try to tell someone, have you noticed that sometimes when even if we tell the truth to someone else, the other person may get upset? Because we don't like. If I come to tell you, brother, and I tell you your mistakes, you know, who are you? We are that way. Even though we're sinners, we don't like other people to tell us about it. Do you like that? Or we get upset when somebody gets in our territory, right? It's why we need to be humble and be willing to see ourselves in the mirror of whom? In the mirror of God. He reveals our sin, as we mentioned, the Word of God reveals our sin. Read with me also, please, in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians. And why am I preaching about it? About this? Because when we go to Guatemala and we do mission work, this is one of the key things that we need to teach other people. Do you know that in Guatemala, a lot of people think that there are a lot of gospel around? But when you talk about people about the gospel, or if you ask them, are you a Christian? Yeah. Why are you a Christian? They say, well, I'm persevering. I'm going to church. I'm trying to do my best. And I think if I'm good enough, one day I will go to heaven. Is that the gospel? Is that the mirror of God? It's not. And this is why we're there. And you know what? Many times people will talk to me and say, you know, I'm a Christian. And always I have learned to do this. And I have learned to say, why are you a Christian? Why? Because of this. What else? Because what else? And I ask and ask to see if they finally talk about Christ. But most of the people do not know it. And that's why it's a blessing for me. Thank you, church, for supporting us and helping us to do our ministry in Guatemala and to explain and to talk to other people about the gospel of grace, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one that saves. We were talking right about the Word of God reveals our sin in Ephesians chapter 2, says in verse 1, and you had he quickened it. We were dead in trespasses of sin. See, the Bible says that sin, what does sin causes to us? He produces death. He produces death. And this is why we need to teach other people. I go and we teach others, wow, you are dead in your sins. You are dead to God. You know, almost everyone believes that God is their friend. And God is a friend. But the only way to come and to be reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ. The only way not to be dead spiritually is to come again through Jesus Christ. Not only sin give us death, but also sin, the Bible talks about the sins control us. See verse 2. When in time past, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. See, the Bible says that the spirit of the devil works in the hearts of people. Have you noticed? Did it ever happen to you before you came to know the word of God? Then you said to yourself, you know, I need to change this. I would like to be that way. I would like to change that. And even you tried it, it doesn't work. Because the devil is stronger than us. Our flesh is stronger than us. The world is stronger than us. And we need the power of God to be able to change. So to change, and when you see yourself in the mirror of God, what do we see? We see that we're sinners, but we also see that we cannot change ourselves. But there is someone that can change, that changes, right? And that's why we go and teach others about the Bible. In verse 3, the Bible keeps saying, among whom also you were all in our conversation in times past, in our lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of what? Of wrath, even as others. The Bible says that we were children of wrath. You know what? You know what it means? Children of condemnation. People are condemned because of their sins. And we thank God that God has saved us and has given us a spiritual life now to be able to serve, a God. When we see the mirror of God, what do we see? We see our sin. Right? It's why we go and we explain the gospel to others. We go door to door, and that's a precious time that when we are able to teach others. Last year, around this time, basically in April, a couple came to our home, to my home. They knocked the door. I have known them for a long time, but have not talked to them much. And they say, you know what? We hear about your church and we would like to be members of your church. So, oh, that's good, you know. I like to hear that when somebody just comes to the door and say, well, I would like to be members of your church. Well, they came and said, well, what do we need to do? And I asked them, are you saved? What do you mean? Yeah, are you saved? If you will go, you will die today, will you go to heaven? So, no, I never heard such a thing. They grew up in a Pentecostal church. And I opened the Bible, see, and it showed them the mirror. The mirror of God. It said, you know what? The Bible says that you are a sinner. The Bible says that you are separated from God. The Bible says that you cannot change yourself. And the men began to cry. Say, you know what? It's amazing, but it's true. I have tried to change many times, but for some reason I had not been able to get it. What else? And I kept explaining the Bible, and both of them came, and that night they were saved. They grew up in a Pentecostal church, and now they are serving in the church. And they are bringing, his parents are beginning to come to our church also. And they are inviting other people. Even his name is Hugo, and his wife Jessica. And I see a lot of them, maybe a future pastor in them. They have a lot of, zeal. And they are very amazed to come and to hear the word of God and to be able, and they love to share the word of God with others. But how do they change? Coming to the mirror of God, right? Are you changing? Are you changing in the mirror of God? When we see ourselves in the mirror of God, I should see Christ. When I see the mirror of God, I should see Christ. If you see 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, but we all, with open face, beholding as a glass of the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, even as to the Spirit of the Lord. See what the Bible says here, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass of the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. When we are saved, the Bible says that we start seeing the face of Jesus. How? Through the Word of God. And through the Word of God, something begins to happen. And what is where it begins to happen? A change. And what kind of change? We begin to change. Not our outer appearance, but we begin to change our insides, our hearts, our desires, the way we speak. Our agenda start to change. Are you changing that way? Are you changing? See, when we come to the knowledge of God, God begins to work in our hearts. And as we are changing in through Jesus Christ, and this is very important also. You know what? I don't change seeing pastor. Thank God for him. He helps me out. But how did I change? I do change seeing Jesus. He was perfect. He is the one that died for me, right? He is the one that teaches me, and he is my best friend. I do change as I learned. I do change as I learned to walk with God. Why? Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, if you open your Bibles there, please. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And the Bible says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like us as we are, yet without sin. See, Jesus Christ was tempted in all matters as we are, but he did not sin. Why do we change? Because he helped us to be more like him. Jesus was perfect. If you see with me also in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, it talks about Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, the Bible talks about Jesus here. He gave us his perfect life. He died for us in our place. You know, when we go and explain the gospel to others, people tend to think, it's just believing in Jesus Christ that I'm saved? Yeah, it's just believing in him. And sometimes people do not understand because they don't really understand what Jesus is. He's perfect. He gave a perfect sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. See, Jesus died on the cross for us. Jesus Christ gave his life in our place. If you see also in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 and on, as you know, most of you know these verses already. Romans chapter 5. In verse 8, the Bible says, but God commanded his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. See, what the Bible here says is that even being sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. And not only died, but you know, the Bible says we were reconciled. You know what that word reconciled means? He changed a place with us. He put himself in the place of condemnation. And he said, well, I'm taking your place. I'm freeing you, you stay there, you stand there, and I'm taking your place. And you know what? It also means once and for all. Once and for all. It means that he took our place, he reconciled us, and he took your place, and he took mine. Why? To change a place. He took your place of condemnation, and he took my place also. And you know what? That way, we will become children of God. Praise God for the price that he paid for us at the cross. God wants us to live for his glory. The Bible says also in Ephesians chapter 1, if you see with me, please, with me, Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 6. Why did Jesus die for us? What is the reason for us to live today? And verse 6 says, the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and took in the beloved. The verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. When God died for us, he paid our sin penalty, but now he wants us to live for his glory. He doesn't want me to live for my own anymore, but he wants me to live for his glory. If you read with me, or I just will tell you the story about the rich man. If you remember about this man that he asked Jesus, actually Jesus told the story about this rich man, that he had a barn. And he said, no, so I have so this and that, and I have so many years to live. What will I do with me? He said, you know, I will take these barns and make them bigger, and I will talk to my soul. So I have so many things for many years. But you know what? The story of this man, is just, he was just talking to himself. His own things, his own barns. He just thought about himself. He said he was talking to his own soul, but he never mentioned God. Was he living for the glory of God? Not. He was living for his own glory, for his own things. And you know what? In reality, that's how this world is. People tend to live for his own glory, my own things, my own life, right? My house, and this and that. But you know what? That's one of the things that God does when he saves you. Now, we are here in the States. And you know what? When you are here in the States, you see a lot of things that you don't see in Guatemala. And sometimes you think, wow, why don't I come back to the States? But then you think, you know, there are souls there that need to be reached. I might not have the things there that you have here in the States. Even, you know what in Guatemala? I cannot even buy a new car in Guatemala, even if I have money. You know what? Because if you have a nice car there as you have them here, you might be killed. See? Or somebody might call you, say, you know what? I saw your car. So at this time and hour, I would like you to bring your car, and which is and now own is mine. And they do it in Guatemala. See, so that's why being there, I would not have a brand new car. I have a car that works, takes me here and it takes me there, but I will not have a. But then you say, you know, why? I could be living in the States. 2 years ago, I traveled to Florida, and coming from Guatemala, I had a resident during the time here in the States. I got the residence to live in the States. But then I traveled to Guatemala, and because I lived there so long, when I came to Florida, they said, "You know what? You have been living so long in Guatemala, so we need to take your car away. But we have only one thing to ask you. If you stay living in the States, we will not take it away. But if you go back to Guatemala, we need to take your residence away." You know, I had to make a decision at that moment. But in reality, I had not to take the decision. I already took it. I said, "You know what? I'm not coming into the States to live anymore. The Lord asked me to be there to serve Him, to preach the gospel to others. So I'm staying there." You know? And He said, "You know what? We will give you the residence at this moment. Go back to your country. But once you get there, go to the consulate, to the American consulate, and give it in. We might give you a visa then, but we will take your resident card." And that's why we are here. The Lord allowed us that we all got visa, and that's why I'm with my family at this time. But you know what? The Lord is faithful. But what I'm talking about is that we are not living for our own glory. We are not living just for our own things. We are looking, we are living according to the mirror. At least we're trying. And trying to take to others the gospel of Christ. And we're trying also not only to give to others, but my wife and I trying to live a life that glorifies the Lord. That others might see in us someone that is different. And others might come and to know Jesus Christ also. So we really thank you for your support and prayers, and we ask also your prayers that we might continue serving there. Later on, you will be able to see a video that we brought, and we really feel blessed and expecting and thanking God that we are taking the mirror of God to our country. Many people have heard. Last year we shared around 20,000 tracts, going door to door, giving gospel tracts to people, explaining them to the gospel. And we thank God that many others have come to know God. So how do we keep changing then? How do we keep changing? Just to finish this morning, if you read your Bibles, please, First John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Bible says here, if we confess our sins. Do you know why? At the beginning I said that when we come to the mirror of God, or in other words, to the Word of God, we see ourselves, right? And when we come to Christ, He saves us too. But sometimes, for example, last night, I was talking to a man, and I noticed that he was very... kind of always thinking in a very negative way. I was looking at men like didn't have faith. Although he has been saved for years. And I kind of put my hand on his arm and said, "Brother, do you notice that you have a problem?" And I told him, "I noticed that you're always talking just about negative things. And we as Christians, we should be positive. We should be trusting God." He said, "I ask Him all the time to help me out." And I told him, you don't need to ask him to help you out. You should confess your sin. See, there is a difference. The Bible says here that when we confess our sins, he cleans us and he forgives us. When you have something that you cannot change, the only one that does the change is God. But God does not want to help you change. He is the one that does the change. See the difference? So if you ask God, please help me, you're saying, well, I'm the boss. You help me out. But when you say, Lord, I confess this sin, he forgives and he cleanses. And what does it mean? He changes you into the image of God. You know, I learned that some time ago, and it's very important. When you feel pride in your heart, when there are things that you cannot change, and you see it in yourself, when you read the Bible, many of us come and say, you know, help me out. But the key word says, Lord, I confess. I have this problem. I have this sin. And you know what? It's amazing how the Lord takes it away. And before you know it, something has changed. Because the Lord has forgiven. And also what? What else? He has cleansed you. And what does it mean? It's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. So as we look ourselves into the mirror of God, we see that we're sinners. We see also that God wants and he can save us through Jesus Christ. But he doesn't only want to save us. He also wants to change us. For what reason? For his glory. And when you are changed, you don't say, wow, I'm better now. No, you said, thank you, Lord, that you are the one that doing the change in me. See, I feel that I'm beginning to speak better English than when I began. when I first come from Guatemala, you know, I just speak Spanish there. So by the time I'm ready to leave Guatemala, I begin to speak better English. So. you know, I thank God for that. That even your change is not in your shoulders. So when there is something that bothers you, even with your children, always something, right? Are you perfect? Not yet. And when there is something that bothers you, there is always place, right? There is time that you say, Lord, this is bothering me. I bring it to you. We have learned in Guatemala to pray and also to fast and bring things to God and bring things to God. And it's amazing that when you come to him and just come as you are, come as I am, he cleanses, he forgives, and he changes things. And when you stand up and you go and say, Lord, thank you for the change that you are doing. And it's not for me, but it's for your glory. So when people comes, as we serve in Guatemala, and when people say, oh no, we noticed that you're different, yeah. Let me show you the one that can change you too. And that's Jesus Christ, amen? Amen. So I hope that you are being changed into his image and keep looking yourself into the mirror of God, right? So that we continue our changing, not for our own good, not for others that they see our own good, but for the glory of God. I don't know if Pastor or someone else will take the time, and thank you for taking the time this morning. Thank you, Pastor.